Okay, boys, so today's daf is daf Ayin Zayin. We're holding at the very top. Omar Ameymar. Hilchasa oisiois niknois bemesira. Kerebi. Remember, we had a machloikis yesterday. If you go back just for a second to the bottom of Ayin Vov Omid Aleph, we spoke about the inyan of oisiois and we spoke about the inyan of Svina. We're not focusing on Svina anymore, now only focusing on the oisiois. But you recall we had a machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim, Legabi, the din of oisiois. Whether it's oisiois alone, whether the Mesira alone, or you have the Ksav. Where exactly was that machloikis? Getting back to Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the Sanya, roughly five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Oisiois niknois b'mesira. Oisiois, remember, means a shtar choiv. If you want to be kind of shtar choiv, he just has to hand it over. The mocher gives it to the lokeach. If he gave him matana, that's what you need. Give it to him. If he has to pay him, he paid him, but then he handed it over. So that makes the kinyan. Chomomimim, no. Bein kosvali mosav, bein kosvali kosvali. Konach yichle v'yimser. It's not enough just mesira. You have to have a separate shtar to be koina the original shtar. Amachloik is rabbi nechachom. Is mesira enough? Or the chomzi, you have to have both mesira plus a shtar. Says Amram Meimar Hilchas, so we paskin like Rebbe. Oh, you say nikle mesira. You do not need a shtar, period. Amri Rabashi Meimar. So Rabash said, Ameima, Gemara Oisvara, where do you take this from? Gemara meaning, is this a Masoira that you heard from your Rebbe, and your Rebbe heard from his Rebbe, but you don't really have any basis, it's just, that's what they said. Or do you have a Svara? Omalesi told him Gemara. That's how I learned it from my Rebbe, and my Rebbe from his Rebbe, and for many generations that we paskin like Rebbe, and you do not need an additional Shtar, you only need Masir. And the Taprish Bam says that in fact is the normal way we learn throughout Shas. If you look at the top, Rishbam, b'chein riyato de Gemara, that's how the Gemara kind of runs, if you will. Umaskana b'harvi mekoimois. Wherever the Gemara talks about oisiois, they automatically assume, like Rebbe, oisiois nikmim mesira, v'loi tzarech l'michtav, k'ni loch, v'chol shibudei, v'loi shem shtar. You don't need a shtar at all. You don't need any shtar with fancy legalese. You don't need a shtar at all. All you need to do is mesira, and we're done. Why is this? Based on a Gemara. So Ravashi, back to Gemara on the third line. Ravashi Svara Namihu. I'll tell you, it's not just a Gemara, but there's a Svara also. The Oisiois Mili Ninu, or Mili, the Mili Loit Miknin. Because Oisiois, after all, are just words. Remember, we're not talking about the paper, because the paper, we said that everybody agrees Mesira is enough. We need to have the Mesira together with the Shtar to tell you that we're not only selling the paper, but also selling all the shibudim shiyeshba. In other words, the words which are written in the shtar. Otherwise, that piece of paper is just lotzer al pi tzluchisoy, just to act as a bottle stopper. Ah, so therefore, the oisiyos are mili ninu. You want to be koina mili, mili b'mili loy miknin. You can't be koina words with words. What you have to do for purposes of a kinyan, there has to be something tangible that you can grab hold of. Rishbam says a maaseh b'yadayim. And so therefore, either the subject of the acquisition has to be something which is physical and tangible, or the mode of acquisition, the kinyan, has to be something which is tangible. But if both of them are going to be words, words with words, you can't be koine. If you look at the Rishbam, mili ninhu, about a third of the narrow lines, dvarim hu moicher, we're selling the words in the shtar. It's not real, you know, gold. It's just the hope and the expectation and the promise that you'll eventually get the gold. But at the moment, it's just words. Hilkoch masa biyodayim dahayna mesira hu ich kniyosan. You want to be kind of words, then you have to have a masa biyodayim. Av shtar acher loy mahani. But to go and have additional words to be kind of the first words, it doesn't work. We had the same concept that you can go and appoint a shliach to do an act, but to go and appoint a shliach to go and say words also has to be something tangible. So says that Gemara, there has to be something that you chapa. So once you have the mesira, that does it. You don't need the additional mili. Is that what you're saying? Is that true? V'loi? I am going to show you that you can be koina mili b'mili. Where?
Mili b'shtar.
I mean, the shtar with
right.
the shtar.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the actual, the raya the Gemara is going to bring is going to even be less than the shtar. We'll see Mechem the other day. Pray Gemara v'omer rabba bar yitzhak omer rab. Shnei shtore same. I'll give you an example of two types of shtaris which are similar but have major halachic differences. What are those? Zchu besod zula ploini v'kisvu lo yaseshtar. Reuven wants to give Shimon a piece of land, but Shimon is not present. So Reuven calls over Yankel, says, Yankel, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to be zoiche in this field on behalf of Shimon, and I want you to go and write a shtar as well. Now, how are you going to be zoiche in the Sada? He could, of course, have a Noel Goda Uparat. Rishbam says, he's talking about, for instance, he has a Suder handy. He takes out the Suder, he takes out a Gartel, he takes out a pen. Go and pick it up and have in mind him, and you can be koina with the Kenyan Suder. Fine, do that. Look at the Rishbam. Suder is a form, it's a subset of Kesef.
Okay.
No problem.
That answered my question.
Fine. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So,
he mentioned Chalipin.
Yeah, Chalipin and Suder are synonymous.
Ah, that's okay.
Yeah, no problem, we're still friends. Anyway, Chubasada Zila Pliny, go and be Zoich in this Sada for Pliny. And he was Zoich, he picked up the Suder, three Amis, so he should have no difficulty that he did a proper Suder. The Kisvulo is a Shtar, and I want you all to write down a Shtar for a Shtar Raya, not for a Shtar Kinyan. I want you to write a Shtar Raya so that when I finally get hold of Shimon, I'll tell him, good news, Shimon, this property belongs to you. What's the evidence? Here's a piece of paper. It says on it that I transferred it to you, and you have all the rights. You can register it with the registry, etc., etc. Okay. Guess what happened? So, the Yanko did what Reuven asked him to do. He picked up the Suder he had in mind, and being Zoich on behalf of Shimon. And then he started getting down to business of writing the Shtar. Midstream, Reuven said, do me a favor. Don't write out the shtar anymore. Leave the shtar. Forget about the shtar. Says the Gemara, at this point, he could change his mind in the shtar because it hasn't been written yet, but he can't change his mind in the sada because the person already made a kinyan. And, says Rishbam, anytime you have a case of zochin, zochel adam shloi befanav, once you are zoiche, it's done. The kinyan is over. It's true he wanted to give him another freebie, if you will, to go and give him a shtar, but then he changed his mind, so he won't get a shtar. Let's take a quick look at the Rishbam. Zechu besod azula pleini, and the makne lechem besuder zeh, and the makne, the soda, with the suder, soda zu letzorek pleini, not for you that you should go and keep it, but you should have in mind to be zoich on behalf of Shimon. In fact, they did it.
Just a question, were they Edom?
They in a sense are, you can't really say that they're Edom, they are the two shluchim on behalf of the original Reuven to be Zoyche on behalf of Shimon.
I'm saying when the Chalipin took place, were there Edom that saw this?
Well, no, the Gemara doesn't discuss it, but you don't necessarily need Edom. You see, there are two reasons for Edom. Sometimes you need Eide Kinyan, and sometimes you need Eide Raya. So for instance, for Kiddushin, you have to have Eide Kinyan. That's why you always have to call up to Edom to go and witness, etc. Eide Raya means the act that took place. If you have Edom, that's great. They will be able to subsequently testify, we were there, we saw it, etc. But you don't have to have them. So for instance, anytime a person makes a halva, Reuven lends money to Shimon, $100. If there are Edom, it's good to have Edom, because if Shimon subsequently denies it, I have two Edom.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But so the person who is Mocher all of a sudden can say there was no Shtar and said, nah, I didn't sell, so you cannot prove it. Meaning if there's no Edom, that you can't really...
The Shluchim, they could be the Edom themselves. They can come into court and say that Reuven asked us to be Zoch on behalf of Shimon by picking up the Suter. We picked up the Suter. He did a great job, more than Amma, three Ammas, five Ammas, two Leiv HaShemayim, we picked it up. And
so I didn't see in the narrative that there were two Edom. Is that to be assumed?
The Gemara didn't discuss it.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't say the names of Reuven and Shimon that we had to supply as
well.
Gotcha. Yeah, but you're right. If and when this is challenged subsequently, they could be Edom. If nobody challenges it, we won't have a problem. So now the continuing the Rishba. Choyze b'shtar. Vafilo omar kisvu utunu. Even though he said, write it and hand over the shtar to Shimon. The kolzman shloi bo liyad mekabel matana. Until Shimon receives the actual piece of paper, yochel ze lakish lichusa. He can go and say, I changed my mind. Don't hand over the paper. The ain oisim shtar bal korcha shal nois. He can't go and give a shtar against the noisin's will if he doesn't want to. Even though dim yipa koicha mematana bal peh, loy nicha leite to have him matana b'shtar. Even though he was willing, ready, willing, and able to give him a matana bal peh, but he doesn't want to give him matana b'shtar. He changed his mind. No, I don't want any shtaris. I don't want any papers. Ay, v'yavagav nirin b'cheses abatim, that kinyin b'fnei shnayim v'ein tzorach loymar kisvu, that when a person asked two other people, please make a kinyan on behalf of Shimon, you don't even have to go and say kisvu. They have the inherent right to go and document this in a piece of paper. This tam kinyan l'ksiva oymeid. Normally kinyanim are meant for ksiva. Hanimili stama. That's when the slate is clean. The mistama nichale the matnesh yichdu ishtar the koinim. Sure, why not? I mean, after all, that's the reason why he's giving him matana. I'm happy to give him ishtar. Aval heicha demochi, if he's moichi, no, I'm doing this bal peh. No shtar. Loi kasinu bal karcha. Then you can't go and write against his will. That's already over. As soon as he picked up the sudar, the kinyan was completed. Ah, he said, I want you to write a shtar. You should have evidence. But you didn't need that for the kinyan purposes. So if he changes his mind, he changes his mind. So that's shtar number one, where even though he had charata, he can only be mischaret in the shtar, but not in the sotah. But what happens, says the Gemara, the second shtar, right? So that was shtar number one. What about shtar number two? Same scenario, where Reuven says to Yankel, it's really Yankel and Beryl together, and he says, do me a favor, I want you to be zoiche on behalf of Shimon in this property, but Almenas on the condition, mitatanai, shetichzvu loy es hashtar, that not only do you pick up the sudr, but I want to be maktatim only on the condition that you also write a shtar, sign it, and hand it over to Shimon. Okay, takes a while. In a sudr, you only take a split second. You pick up the sudr, you're done. Write out a shtar, you gotta, you know, get the parchment, get your ink, write it out. Not so simple. Got lawyers involved that can take you a day. Anyway, choyzer bein b'shtar bein b'sode. If the original machna decides he has a change of heart and he says, you know what, I changed my mind, don't give the shtar, don't give the field, in other words, don't be zoicha. Guess what? Even though there was zoicha ready in the sudr, since it was a tanai koyim lamasa, there was a built-in stipulation that I only want this property to be nikna to Shimon, al menash etichtu lo yishtar, that you write out a shtar and give it to him. So until that point of the ksiva and the chasimah seshtar, he can always pull the plug and say, I changed my mind. Okay, so all of that's pretty straightforward. Anytime you add a stipulation, if you don't, you're not mekayem the stipulation, then the kinyan doesn't go forward. So that's two shtars. Rav Chiya bar Abba Omer Rav Huna, shloish shtar is saying, I have yet a third shtar. What are the three stars? Trei Hodyambar, the two that we just described. Idach number three, in Kodam Moicher v'kosev esashtar. What happens if the Moicher preempted the whole closing and the whole kinyan and asked a soifer to write a shtar in advance? Why did he do that? Rishbam says we have a visiting soifer. We're not talking about a large metropolis. We have tons of sofrim. It's a small town. A soifer comes by once in a yovel. Oh, soifer, you're here. That's great. I'm so happy you're here. Why are you so happy? Because I want to sell my property one of these days to a lokeach, but we haven't worked out the terms yet. In fact, lokeach may not even know that I'm selling it then. Do me a favor. Write out a shtar. So if and when, Miyat Hashem, this mechira is going to take place, I'll get to Adam. We'll sign it. We'll hand over the shtar. Says the Gemara, you're allowed to do that. I'm called a moich because of the shtar. You're allowed to, says the bottom Rishbam. Im kodem moicha. Misha tzorach lemois, he needs money. V'roitze limker menachos lechavein, he wants to sell his property. U'pa'om mishu moitze seifer, sometimes he finds a seifer. V'koisiv shtar mechira, and he asks him, please, write out a shtar, k'dei shehi mezuman, it should be ready, litnoi lilakiach, to give it to lakiach, koshosh, here it's a limka. You find the lakiach, lakiach says, here's the money, I'm ready to go and buy it, but I need a shtar. There's no soifer. No soifer, I'm not going to go and pay you money. What evidence will I have? Okay, I will get soifer. I don't have time for that. So write out the shtar in advance. You're allowed to do that, says the Gemara. On to the Yomid Beis Ge'ozesh Sheninu, like we learned in the Mishnah. We're going to have this Mishnah later on at the end of the Masechta. Kois vin shtar lemoicher aval pisha en lekeach imoi. You can write out a shtar for one of the two tzedakim for the moicher, even though the lekeach is not present. And the Rishbam says the reason why you're allowed to do that is because the only one that could possibly be damaged by writing this shtar out in advance is the moicher. If the moicher is willing to take upon himself this risk, okay, it's his headache. We're not going to go and solve all the moicher's problems if he himself does a potentially self-inflicting wound. You're allowed to do that. I afgav the mechzik kishikar. It looks, it smells, it doesn't pass the smell test. The inkan hefsel shem odam. Nobody loses. The only one that has a risk is the moicher. Shem yoyim hereshtar, what happens with the shtar is lost. And the lekeach is going to find it. Oh, what a beautiful shtar. Shekasa bishmoy. It says, Reuven sold to Shimon this property. He yitoyin shalokhim izeh moicher. So then the lekeach will say, well, I got a piece of property. I got a piece of paper that says that the moicher gave me this. I don't remember it, you know, but, you know, I don't remember everything that goes on. So he sold it to me or gave it to me. The who lechai shlohachi. If the moicher is not worried about it, and now lechashina bishvilois, then Bezin is not required to go and be frumer than the moicher himself. Moicher, if you're not worried, so we're not worried. So you're allowed to go and write out a shtar in advance. Okay,
well, this is worry about Achrayus here, that the if you sold, you have the wrong date on it. So the,
yeah, don't you have to write the sale, the date, and
right,
so you leave it out?
If somebody has a, there's a bacho, if he borrowed the money before the land was transferred, he still has a shibud on this, and if he has an earlier date, then what?
It robs the lender of his lien.
The ability to collect against the property.
You're raising a very, very good point. The our Gemara is really not going to that. I see the Tosis on top talks about the Shibud of the Shtar, the Chosim Meshubadim, so it could very well be that he deals with this issue. We're just focusing on, is a person allowed to write such a Shtar? The Gemara says elsewhere it has the name of a Shtar, Amona, a Shtar which is written Bemuna. We're not there yet, we're still negotiating.
It's on spec.
It's on spec in the meantime. So the Moicher is allowed to do that because, you're right, it could have subsequent ramifications, Shtar Muktam, Shtar Moicher. The Gemara again, we have to wait for Kif Sabzayin. It could very well be that the whole shtar was written out, but they left out the date. And they'll fill in the date at the time of the closing. So then you don't have a problem with shtar book to shtar book. Anyway, so we're going to have to wait for further details when we get further. But for purpose of our Gemara, you can write out such a shtar. And now the Gemara adds, this Kivin Shehechzik, says Rishbam, is not part of the Mishnah. This is now the maskana of the kasha that we're asking. Zok Yetzimar. How is the lekeach going to get this shtar now? Kimin shehechzik ze bekarka nikne shtar b'chol mokim shehu. The way that the moicher can transfer the shtar to lekeach, the easy way would be to go and take it out of the drawer, fill it in, sign it, and hand it over. But you don't need to do that, says the Gemara. But rather, if and when the moicher and the lekeach come to terms, and the lekeach presumably pays him whatever he pays him, and now they go out to the karka, and the moicher says, lekeach, no, go ahead, make a kinyan in the karka, and he does a noel gadur poritz kolshu, he does something to show a chazok in the karka. Even if he didn't hand over the shtar at that point, since the shtar had already been written by the soifer, nikne shtar b'chol mokim shehu, wherever the shtar happens to be, even if it's still in the closing room, in the where the lawyer's office is, the conference room, thank you. The shtar is nikna. How is it nikna? With the famous kinyan called kinyan agav zuisha sheninu nechosu sheinu machrayz nikna nechosu sheinu machrayz bekesav b'shtar v'chazaka. And even though we normally think of the mechanism that the agav, when we're koine on the karka, we're koine with it metaltalin. The metaltalin that we're talking about over here is not metaltalin tables and chairs, but the metaltalin is the shtar. The shtar itself is metaltalin. because you can be metalklit from one place to the other.
But if it's in the reshus of the mocher, how can the lokeach acquire something? I mean, if it's in the conference room or it's in the drawer of the lokeach,
mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, the whole world, and we have this whole concept of the whole world is one big patch of ground. But this is something that's in the reshus of the mocher. Mm-hmm. How can the lokeach, as it were, legally reaching to the mocher's reshus and acquire that shtar? I understand he acquires the property.
Mm-hmm.
But the physical shtar itself, why is it conveyed to the mocher, to the lokeach?
You'll see in another moment where we learn the sugyas that talked about hilchois agav. It says over there, it does not need to be that the metalklin are on the karka, even if they're in a separate area, 50 miles away. You can go mimakne someone metalklin agav karka. Tell them, make a kinyan in this karka. Have in mind, not only you will make a kinyan in the karka, also make a kinyan in the other metalik, the other shtar, wherever, b'chom mokim shehu, that's kain. We're going to see a real live example in another moment.
Is that Rebbe Gamliel on the boat with Rebbe Yeshua and...
was with a kinyan chotzer. I don't think it was with a kinyan agav.
Was
it dimmi the chotzer and agav? Yes. That's another discussion,
okay,
not for today.
Okay.
But for a purpose of our Gemara, what is the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara has now told us the third shtar. And we started off, you're telling me mili b'mili leikani, I'll show you mili b'mili is kain. And what does the Gemara mean now? So Rishbam explains that the Gemara's havamin is the following. He told him, the Moicha said to the Lekech, make a kinyan in the karka. Okay? Lekech makes his kinyan in the karka. Done. What about the shtar? I have my shtar, Mitch, I'm going to go and give it to you. And consider it as if it's yours. It's in the closing room, in the conference room by the lawyer's offices, but it's yours. Ah, but he didn't make a kinyan in it. He didn't make a hagba, he didn't make a glila, he didn't make a mashiach, he didn't make a masira. That's okay. How does it really work? The Gemara is going to say in a moment it works through kinyan agav. But the Gemara in the Havamina learns that just his say-so, that I'm giving you the shtar, that's already enough for you to be koine the shtar.
It's a shtar raya.
As a shtar raya on the ground, because he already made the kinyan with the 100% right. So now the question is, didn't you tell me mili b'mili lekani? That not only, here's even a greater chiddush. Until now you said that you can't be koine one shtar by giving another shtar, because each one is mili. Here our Gemara is saying is you can be koine the shtar just by his say-so. Take the shtar. I don't have it here. I have it in the conference room. You'll get it shortly.
It's even less tangible. It's not another shtar written for a shtar. It's words.
It's even less.
Now we're talking about shtar for another shtar. Here we're talking about conversation.
Exactly. Words. So these words are even less wordy than the other
words. Less tangible.
Less tangible. Even more intangible.
More remote.
More remote. This very good.
This is before another Teretz of Agav?
Yeah, that's going to be right. Because Gemara is going to answer immediately. Agav Shaini. But we're not up to that point yet.
Okay.
So if you take just a quick look at the Rishbam, Bekesef ubishtaru b'chazaka. Almost halfway down the Rishbam. Kesef shabachazaka. Bekesef shekivu minakarka. Again, we're talking about buying a piece of property. Kesef shabachazaka. Bekesef shekivu minakarka. Oishehechzikba. Niknen gam metalklin. By handing over the kesef or doing a chazaka, and you have in mind metalklin, metalklin go along for the ride. Because solkadai techashta, the hashtar, the mili ba'alma mikni, that he wasn't koine the shtar with any kinyan, just mili. The moicha says, yes, the soda you already koine. What about the shtar? I'm asking, sure, you got the shtar, no problem. He told him about that. Even though it didn't reach his hands, it was just the say so of the moicha. Sure, I give you the shtar. Is koshkeli el bishtar bishtar mikni?
Yes.
The iluhocha filim me the gradi konele beloishtar. Here's just words. He's telling him nicely. Yes, lekeach, sure. Of course, you made a kinyan already in the sada. Don't worry about the shtar. I already told my lawyers to give it to your lawyers. It's done. It's your shtar. We're finished. So no mili gradi's kone shtar. The koshkein the mikni be mili haksum bishtar.
That's a tangible conveyance.
Yeah, that's certainly much more tangible than just words. So Ibazoi, why do you say li amid aleph? It cannot be koina a shtar with a shtar. Because each one is intangible words. I see in our case that you can be koina a shtar with even less tangible words, which are just balpe words, not even words which are documented in the shtar. So the choyra have a kasha on this mili b'mili loy kani. And the Gemara gives an obvious answer. The way that Shimon is koine the shtar is not because Reuven said, sure, the shtar is yours, take it, no problem. No, no. It's because it's nikne through the kinyan agav. In fact, that's how the Gemara told us. That kim shechz zeh bekarka nikne shtar b'chol mokim shehu. Why is that? Because this is what we learn. Nechoshen ein lamachrayis. Nikne choshen sheyesh lamachrayis v'kez v'chabish v'chasaka with the kinyan agav. So it's not that it's just words that he's makne the shtar, but rather, and for the Gemara, agav shiny. Agav is different, because that's a real kinyan. There is a physical kinyan, not on the shtar. There's a physical kinyan on the karka. And that physical kinyan on the karka includes the shtar. The shtar goes along for the ride, so to speak, together with the karka. And I'll show you that kinyan agav is a very strong kinyan. When we were learning back in the Sechtes Bob Metzia about Matbeya, Peya, and Tiva, the whole nine yards, we said Matbeya loy nikni b'chalipin. You can't go and be koina a Matbeya. You can be koina a porra and a hamor and all that type of thing. Yeah, but chit and soira, all that, but you can't go and be koina a Matbeya b'chalipin. However, agav ara nikni, but you can be koina a Matbeya agav ara. Ooh. So you see that agav is stronger than a kinyan sudar, than a kinyan chalipin. Where do we have a real life case? And this addresses your issue that you asked me before. Ki hodra papa, havele tracer alfi zuzi bechoizoi. Somebody owed Rapapa 12,000 zuzim bechoizoi. And bechoizoi was far away. Very remote, as you said before. Very hard to get there. So Rapapa is not going to go and spend $1,000 for purpose of getting the trade. Well, maybe $1,000 would be, but apparently
he never spent 11,000 zuzi to get 12,000 zuzi.
Oh, it does not.
It didn't pay.
It didn't pay. So what did he do? He asked Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, who anyway was going to Beit Chozoy. He had to go there for a business trip or for a shidduch or for whatever purpose. He said to him, could you do me a favor? Go to my creditor who owes me money in Beit, the debtor who owes me money in Beit Chozoy, pick up the 12,000 and give it back to him. Rav Shmuel Bar Acha had concerns, however, that debtor is going to say, what happens to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha if I give you the money and after that you lose the money?
Right.
Or going to be listed, or Chas V'Shalom, you'll pass away, or whatever. Rav Papa will say, I never got the money.
Right.
So therefore, Rav Papa gave him a Shtar Harsho'ah. A Shtar Harsho'ah is that a certificate of authority that he's authorizing him. How? He's saying, I hereby convey, transfer, assign to you the money that my debtor owes me, so therefore he now owes the money to you. You, Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, you now own that money. Because I give him Harsha, authorize him, it's yours. Therefore, when the debtor says, well, how do I know it's going to get to Rav Papa? It doesn't have to get to Rav Papa.
Right.
All it has to do is get to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha.
It's paid in full.
Paid in full.
And he gives him the shtar to the debtor?
Exactly.
Now, shtar shah, which is like a receipt that he paid Shmuel Bar Acha the full amount, and therefore he's off the hook.
Exactly. And then Shmuel Bar Acha was very friendly with Rav Papa, so Rav Papa was not worried.
He trusted him too.
He trusted him, he's going to go and give him the money. Fine. So now, how was he machne to him the money? After all, the money's not here. How was he able to go and be machne the money from the debtor and say to Shmuel Bar Acha? He goes, well, he gave it to him in a shtar. Shtar is koina the chosim sheish mehem achrayis, such as
property.
A karka, or perhaps even a vodim, which a hukshul karkois. But how can you go and transfer money through saying, I give you money? That doesn't work. Oh, it's agav asipa de beise. He made it with a kinyan agav. He says, you see this this sipa de beise. Sipa de beise means a threshold of the doorway. I makna that to you, not forever, for the next 30 days, for 60 days, whatever. And I makna to you, and at the same time, I makna the money, which is in Bechoizoi, agav asipa de base.
So when he brings, so he basically owns that part of Rav Papa's household until the money,
until the time period.
Derivative of that, he owns the money through the star, Shah, in the creditors, in the debtors' domain.
Correct. And therefore, what happens now is Hitak is now the owner of Shmuel Bar Acha, now is the full-fledged owner of the money, which he's only going to get in 30 days, whenever he gets to Beit Chozoy. It might take him a month to get to Beit Chozoy, but whenever he gets there, how did you own the money? You didn't go into a Hagba, you didn't do a Glili, you didn't go into a Mashiach, you didn't do a Masir, you didn't do a Sir. It works, Agav Asipa de Beisei, based on Kinyan Agav. And the Gemara tells us now the end of the story. Ki Osa, when Rav Shmuel Baracha came, is now traveling back, Rav Papa wanted to thank him and greet him in Yeshakoyach. He went and met him at Tovach. The two Pshatim at Tovach. Rishbam over here says that that was the name of a place, presumably somewhere in between Bechoizoi and where they were originally. Right. While all the Mepharshim say Tovach is from Loshan
Av. Midpoint.
Midpoint, right, Toich, right in the midpoint. Exactly. So two Pshatim.
He wanted to get that money.
Anyway, so what do we see from all of this discussion? We see that you can be makne any type of metaltlin, even money, which you cannot be makne through suda, through chalip, and you can be makne through agav. So shtar, you can also be makne through agav. The Gemara's teretz is so simple that l'choira, it defies understanding what the kasha was. Meaning, we said on the Amud Aleph that you can go, you can be koina oisius by oisius, because mili by mili, yeah. But I find by this third form of shtar, where he's not handing over the shtar, he's just saying, make a kinyan in the karka, and then I'll get you the shtar. Don't worry, the shtar is yours. And so the Rishbam said, that was just mili, it was just mili balpeh. It's even less than making a shtar. And you say that the shtar is his. And the Gemara says, yeah, because it was a kinyan agav. The Gemara knew that we're talking about a kinyan agav, because the Gemara already said in the Havamina, What does that mean? That means a kinyan agav. So what was the Gemara's Havamina? Kinyan agav, of course, is a physical kinyan. It's not just devorim ba'almas. It's not a mili b'mili. What was the Gemara's Havamina? Zaytzachos, the Gemara's Havamina is that the Gemara assumed that when you make a kinyan agav, you only make a kinyan in the karka, which is, of course, the only thing you do. And then automatically, it's not as if you're making a kinyan in the metalton at the same time. But it's as if you get a freebie, a discount. Oh, you're buying a karka, then you get together with it the shtar. But not that it's deemed to be as if you're making a kinyan in the shtar. Kamashlan says, no. When you're making a kinyan agav, even though the shtar is not present, it's not tangible, it's somewhere else 50 miles away, it's as if you're making a kinyan in both things at one time. You're making a kinyan in the karka, and that's deemed legally as if you made a kinyan be a dayim in the shtar itself. And so therefore this is not a case of mili b'mili, it's a case of being koina mili with a kinyan. Which kinyan? The kinyan on the karka. It reminds me of a story when I was in Yerushalayim many years ago. There was a person, Mr. Diamond, very nice fellow, who was on Rechov Strauss, which is right next to Geula. He had a silver store. And my wife and I wanted to go and buy some Leichter for Shabbos. And so we went in, and we went into the store. We saw a beautiful Leichter, five, and we asked him, how much does that cost? He said, there are two prices for it. What are the two prices? If you're just buying the Leichter alone, it's $800. However, if you like to go, if you like this tray underneath the Leichter, I'll give you the tray for free, but then you have to pay $1,800 for the Leichter. In other words, what you're saying is that the tray is $1,000.
Yeah.
But that's not how he phrased it. Right. He phrased it, why did it? Oh, he wanted to be a little jocular. So he said, to be a light conversation, perhaps to entice us to go and buy. He's a nice, friendly guy. He was a friendly guy. Anyways, he said, $800 for the Leichter. If you want to go and you like this tray as well, right, I give you the tray for free, but then the price on the Leichter is $1,800. So it's somewhat similar in concept to what we're talking about over here. The Gemara in the Havamina assumed that as soon as you make a kinyan on the karka, then you don't have to pay for the shtar. The shtar comes along free for the ride. It's automatic. You have to pay the $1,800 to go and get the shtar. Now, I don't mean that seriously. I'm just borrowing it from the mushal, from the case. I'm saying you make your kinyan in the sada, automatically you get the shtar. That's a freebie. You don't have to pay about it. You don't have to think about it. No discount, no cost. It's automatically
included.
It's included in the price that you get. So frankly, but that's mili. He didn't make a kinyan at all in the shtar. He just talked about it. You're about pay. He's giving it to him. He says, well, no. You're making a mistake. Kinyan agav doesn't mean I give you a freebie. Kinyan agav means making one kinyan helps for both as if you made a kinyan in both. Like the case of Shmuel that you spoke about before, a person bought 10 karkois, he made a kinyan in one karka. automatically he's kind of all the other nine b'chol makim shehu, because sana the arachadu, the whole world surface is all one. So when I make a kinyan here, it's as if I made a kinyan here, it's as if I made a kinyan there. So in the kinyan of agav, when I make a kinyan on the field, it's as if I made a kinyan also in the metaltlin at the same time. So therefore it's not, it's a freebie. It's as if I take and made a kinyan.
Like a bundling?
A bundling.
Yes.
Oh,
legally.
Very
legal fiction. Maybe after the shir, you can explain to me between agav and chatzar again. After the shir.
Very good.
Because we have some civilians need to leave.
Yeah, Betavach, it's in Brisbane of Sarum.
Yeah, in the middle.
The animals
and they walk through.
Beautiful. The Irishbam says, Mokka Besech Lid Vakach Shemoi. That's the name of the
place. Maybe that's why it was called Tavach, because it was in Bechazoi, Rav Papa's town. So, this is midpoint town between Bechazoi. Everyone knew that was the, you changed trains there.
Do you have the Moisef Rashi on the side?
I don't know if you have. I do.
Okay, Moisef Rashi. Do you have the benefit of Moisef Rashi on the left hand side? Moisef Rashi. So if you go down the Moisef Rashi, about 75% down, it's about 12 lines from the bottom. Nofel Ka'ape, everybody have the Nofel Ka'ape.
Yeah, Halachli Cross.
Halachli Cross. Atabach.
Shemakim
Bavakama. She Sameach Shehevi Le Moisef. Oh, I'm so happy. V'yesh mafarshim. What's the next two words?
Chatzia derech.
Chatzia derech. Mafarshim. Nam ish liyachse ben la'atzmai v'loi yedikivin. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so there's another pshat. Not that it was a shame. Welcome, and that chatzia derech. Okay?
Yeah. Good. Just one more thing.
Three more things. But remember, some people have to leave very quickly.
Yeah, no. So just very quickly. Chalipin, we're talking about, it's, to me, I didn't remember that it's you could be Kone Karka with Chalipin.
It's Rivet of Kesef.
Right. Yeah, that's what we said. Right. Exactly. It seems
unusual.
Refresh your knowledge.
Right.
Good. It said in our Mishnah that if you went and bought a Svina, and even if he says, I'm selling you the Svina b'chol mashi yesh boy, etc. So he gets, as part of the Svina, he gets, if you remember, the mast, and he gets the sail, and he gets the oars,
the
anchors.
Even though it's a function of the craft. Right.
Exactly.
But usually you sell a house, you don't get the metal.
Right.
The movable furniture is not included.
Well, what about the crew?
The reason why it's not the house itself is
not included. That's the crew. That's
Svina by definition is metal.
Not included.
Good. But Limachalis Avodim, Rishbam says, are either the sailors that are driving the ship, or sailing the ship, or means the shomrim, that they are people that are watching over the cargo that nobody should steal it. V'loy es ha-martzufin. Martzufin are sacks.
The containers.
V'loy es antiki, and not the antiki. What means antiki? What's my antiki? I'm Rapapa iska de begava. So Rishbam says that antiki is the cargo, the freight, which is included or enveloped in the martzufin and the sacks. You have the martzufin or the sacks or the containers, and the antiki is the cargo that you put into the containers, and presumably you seal it and you leave it on the boat from when you're going from one destination to another. So that's what the antiki is. That is not included because you don't need that for the function of the boat. The reason why it's there is because he's moving the freight from one place to another. On to the next Mishnah. Zok to Mishnah. Mocha sekorai li mocha es haprodeis. Mocha sekorai li mocha es haprodeis. Korain is a wagon. This wagon was driven by mules. So you have a wagon, you have mules. He sold the wagon. The mules are not included. If he sold the mules, wagon is not included. Yeah? Zay zok to Mishnah. And now the Mishnah gives a second case, which is parallel. Mochas a tzemet, mochas a bakar, mochas a bakar, mochas a tzemet. Bakar, of course, are oxen. Tzemet is the oil, the yoke that they have on the oxen, which the oxen wear when they are, for instance, plowing in the field, and they have attached to them some other form of agola, in which that agola either is the plow, underneath it is the plow, and or when people are harvesting, they throw all of the tvur, all the peiris, into that agola. So you have the boker that are working together with the tzemed on it. Rishbam calls it the oil. So, once again, just like you said, Korain and Pradesh are two separate things. You sold the Korain, you don't sell the Pradesh. You sold the Pradesh, you didn't sell the Korain. Mochas at Semen, like Mochas at Bakr. Mochas at Bakr, like Semen is a bet.
But we had that if you are buying the oxen and you grab the oil or you grab the bell, you're Kona the ox. Mm-hmm. Why here is the tzemed, which is considered a separate item, and previously we described it as being tuffel to the animal, and grabbing it and moving it acquired the animal as well as the tzemed.
Very, very, very good point. Back two blad ago, we said ketzib b'masira, that was bottom of ayin hay amid beis, the last 10 lines. All of those kind of, he was kind of bim mesira. You don't even have to move, just bim mesira. So you're saying, well, we hear the tzemet, that's the oil,
and
that's the thing around.
Sounds like one of those same items, right? What's the difference? Might not be,
because over there, the moicher and the lekech are both in agreement that I'm selling you the korein and the products, or the tzemet and the bakar.
I see.
Here we have a difference of opinion.
I see.
They signed a document, and in the document it says, I hereby sell to you the tzemet. He didn't mention the bakar. Of course, the document doesn't work for purposes of metalkin, but that is what it said, tzemet. He handed over the cash, and he says, okay, when is the delivery? Delivery is within 24 hours. Okay, 24 hours later, he gets a FedEx package, and there's only a tzemet there.
There's no bakar.
But I bought the bakar as well. I didn't just buy the tzemet. Look, Moichah said, what are you talking about? I only sold you tzemet. I didn't sell you bakar. So our Mishnah says that the Moichah has the upper hand. If they only specified tzemet, he doesn't get the bakar. If he specified bakar, he doesn't get the tzemet. We'll see in the Gemara shortly what was the common terminology that people used.
Yes.
When they said tzemet, did they mean tzemet and bakar?
Yeah.
Or when they said tzemet, did they mean only tzemet? So what's the discussion?
Saying tzemet, I'll sell you the wheels, you're selling the car.
Okay, so we're going to see Mitchum. And wheels would probably be a little bit of
modern terminology.
No, I understand.
Right.
But the other way around. What happens if he said, I sell you the car, and then he gives him the car without the wheels? I didn't say give you wheels, I said, give you a car. Right. You know, we didn't talk about the wheels. So what's normal terminology? When you say a car, you're talking about the wheels as well. I mean,
and the steering wheel.
As well as the motor inside.
I remember the motor first computer, they said we have to buy the video card. It's not included. Use it without the video card.
Exactly. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, 1 second, why don't we see how much the price is? Hadam my din. Keitzad. I'm willing to go and pay you 200 zuz for a tzemet. For a tzemet, 200 zuz? Are you nuts? Hadam Yehuda shen a tzemet mesayim zuz. How much do you pay for tzemet? $50. And he's paying him $200. Obviously, he meant the tzemet and the bakar together.
That's another situation. If it's
we're going to talk about that too, Baruch Hashem. So the Yehuda says, look at the dumb. That's the best evidence. If he's paying him 200, it must mean tzemet and bakar together. Chamoyimim ain't a dumb right. No, the fact that he gave him 200 is nishkarai. Why not? Gemara will discuss. Okay. Zokti Moriyatz. Tonir afliva bar marova kamidir bavo. Mocher es ha-koroin, mocher es ha-prodois. If he sold the koroin, the prodois are included. That's what Rav Tachlifa said from a brice in front of Rav Avoh. You sold the koroin, the prodois are included. So he asked him, Vuanan, doesn't it say in our Mishnah, loy mocher tanat? Let's go back to the Mishnah. Mocher es ha-koroin, loy mocher es ha-prodois. And now you're telling me, hey, Shalom Aleichem, welcome aboard. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you guys.
Where have you been? That's what I'll say.
Look at this guy.
All those emails. Not one to answer me.
Just stop. Your home is getting bigger about a minute.
Baruch Hashem.
Amrlay.
Let's continue on. We have people here.
No, don't worry. I got to go work.
Okay, good. Fine. I'll leave it. So says the Gemara, in our Mishnah, we say, Machzakar, loy machzakar prodeis. And after Tachlifa says in this price, Machzakar, machzakar prodeis. It's the Kastira. Amrlay, Ismaya. Because of this kasha from the Mishnah, should I push the delete button and forget about this brisa
that I
learned? No. The difference between your brisa and our Mishnah is, where are the prodos when he's selling the korin? Are the prodos attached to the korin? Or are the prodos somewhere else? When our Mishnah says, mochas a korin, mochas a prodos, because they made up, I'm selling you the korin for $200. With the produce nowhere in sight. No, then he only sold him the car. He didn't sell him the produce, and vice versa. Produce didn't sell him the car, or by the tzemen and the bakar. Masha Enkein and the Bryce is talking about that it was attached to it. So therefore, if he sold him the car, then he sold him the produce too, because it's like one entity, one unit. So it depends on whether it's attached or not. Right. Mochas etzemele mochas abokar. So now we're going to get into the details which we kind of glossed over when we learned the Mishnah. Yisel etzemet, bokar is not included. Zhokti gemara, heichidami. Tell me, what is this all about? Ilayim edekoru letzimda tzimda. Ula bokar bokar. If the common terminology in the world is, when you talk about tzemet, you mean tzemet. And when you say bakar, you mean bakar, and never the twain shall meet. If I sell you, I'm selling you a dining room table. Did I sell you, tell you that I'm selling you the chairs? If I tell you I'm selling you the dining room chairs, did I mention the table? So if people call table, table, and call chairs, chairs, then of course, only the tzemet is sold, and not the bakar. Only the bakar, not the tzemet. So what's the chiddush?
I'm selling you the dining room.
Oh! If in fact common terminology is that when they are referring to a tzemet, they don't only mean the tzemet. You don't buy just an oil. You buy the oil connected to the bakar, and it's a package deal, like you said, selling a whole dining room. Then kul is oven lay. So why does the Mishnah say that only the tzemet or only the bakar? You're telling me that the common use in terminology is, you look up the Webster's dictionary, tzemed means a tzemed bakar, not just an oil connected to oxen. So then it should both be included automatically. So why does our Mishnah say only tzemed, only bakar? Everything in Mara loitzricha, that there are in fact two uses. If you look up the Webster's dictionary, you have first definition number one, then you have definition number two. But derech klal, most people, when they say tzemet, they only mean tzemet. When they say bakar, they only mean bakar. The ikonami, but there are some that call the bakar tzemet. In other words, 10%, 20%, 50%. There is a minority that also calls, when they say the word tzemet, they mean bakar as well. Okay? So now, they negotiated a deal. I'm selling you the tzemet. We're done. They both agreed. Rabbi Yehuda Savar had done my deal. After he said, I'm selling you the tzemet, then post-negotiations, all of a sudden, the keach said, okay, I gave you the $200. Where's my bakar? Who talked about bakar? We've talked about tzemet. You know, everybody here in town, tzemet is tzemet, bakar, bakar. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that when I say tzemet, I mean bakar as well. And therefore, when I said tzemet, I was sure that you're on the same page with me. After all, I paid you $200. Who pays $200 for a lousy tzemet? Tzemet costs you $50. And I paid you $200. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar Adam Medin. Since I'm not sure in exactly what tzemet means, because while most people say tzemet means tzemet and not bakar, but some, when they say tzemet, they mean the bakar. So what did the moicher mean when he said tzemet? Did he mean azoy? Tzemet azoy? So let's look at the money. If the money is $200 and any person who has a little bit of seichel,
and the going rate is
good, that $50 for a tzemet, two bakar together is 150, 200, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
200 just
for tzemet alone. It adds up.
Exactly. Rabbanan Sabri ain't a dumb riot, the dumb and the nishka riot. Why? We'll see in the Gemara shortly why he holds ain't a dumb riot. But in the meantime, since you cannot bring a riot from the dumb, so that is non-evidentiary, that doesn't work as evidence. So now we have a difference of opinion between Reuven and Shimon, between the Moicher and the Lekech. Says Reish Ba'am, Yad Moicher al Elyoina, Yad Lekech al Tachtoina. Why? Because the Moicher, after all, is the Muchsik. He's the one that's holding on to the Temen and the Baraya. And therefore, you're going to have to go and prove that when we said Tzemet, that we meant all to the Bakar. Unless you have any recordings, or you have Edim that said, of course, they're talking about Tzemet and the Bakar, and how old the Bakar is, and how tall the Bakar is. If we didn't talk about it, you know, you have to have evidence. So, but the Dom itself is Nishkarai. So now we understand the Machlokes and the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We're talking about a situation where some people call Tzemet Tzemet, some people call Bakar also Tzemet. In other words, Tzemet is covers both tzemet and bakar. We're not sure what the moicher's daya was when he agreed to the sale. Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to ask the moicher, you don't have to ask the lekeach. I have perfect evidence from the damim. And the chum say, no, damim is not good evidence. Frank the Gemara, but based on the way we understand our Mishnah now, it says mocher is a tzemet, le mocher is a bakar, but the tzemet is so. The bakar takanisht, because like we said, according to Chachamim, Yad Hamoichal Yoyne, because he's the Mochsin. In other words, Moshe Kamei Raya. See, he doesn't get the Bakar, but he does get the Tzemet. Frank Timura, why? Why don't you say we have a Bittel Mekach? Yes. That he shouldn't be coin even the Tzemet, because he's overpaying $200 for a Tzemet. Frank Timura, maybe you're going to go tell me Bittel Mekach or Rabban Leslahu. They don't hold of the concept of Bittel Mekach. What means they don't hold the Bittel Mekach? So there's a machloikis. Rishbam brings two pshatim, a pshat of his Rebbe, his own pshat. The pshat that the Rishbam quotes from Rabbi Seinu is, we all know there's a din of oinoa. But oinoa, there are three possibilities of oinoa. You have less than ishtus, exactly ishtus, and more than ishtus. If it's less than ishtus, remember we learned back in Perek HaZoh, back in Bava Metzia, if it's less than ishtus, it's automatically mechila. It's such an inconsequential amount. I mean,
it's tolerable.
It's tolerable. I'm finished. If it happens to be exactly a shtus, then the mekach is kayim, but he has to refund to him the amount of the oinah. So if he took 1/6 more than the price should have been 6, he charged him 7, so he added a 6th to the price. The mekach is kayim, he's stuck with the merchandise.
And he gets a refund, of the overcharge only.
Right. What happens if, in fact, the price would have been, could have been, should have been 6, and he charged him $10, which is far more than the shtus, then the whole Bittul Mekach, the Lekeach can say,
reverses.
I am so revolted, I'm so agitated, I'm so upset, forget about it. Here, give me back my 10, get back your item, I don't want anymore. Okay, so the Gemara assumes now in the Havamin of the way the Rishbam quotes his Rabbi Seinu, that they say Yitaki get the Tzemet, and he'd have to go and give him a refund. But not that it's a big Bittul Mekach. Maybe they don't hold a din of Bittul Mekach. Maybe they hold that even more than Ishtus, it's always a din of Einoah, no more, no less. The Mekach is Kayim, he gets his Tzemet, and he's entitled to get a refund. Fine. Our Mishnah's not talking about a refund. Our Mishnah's talking about what is sold. The Tzemet is sold, and he's entitled to a refund. Hey, you're going to tell me that that's what the Rabbanan hold? Bittul Mekach, less Lehu, I get more than I get you. Frank Dimor and Valoi, but Nansach Dua Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? Back in Bava Metzia. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Hamoicha say the Torah, Behemah Mo'ed Ga'olius, Ein Lehu Einoah. Even though normally there's always Einoah by all types of metaltalin, there's no Einoah by these three items. Why are these three items different? So you remember we learned back in Bava Metzia. Say the Torah is because the Poz Umepninim Yekara, even though the market rate for a Sefer Torah might be $100,000, this person has such a love for the Heiliger B'Shefer.
It's priceless.
Exactly. He's willing to pay $1,000,000. Sefer, I never owned a Sefer Torah in my life. I am willing to pay any money in the world to go and get. It's only worth $100,000. Doesn't make a difference. I'm willing to go and pay much more. So there's no din of Einoah by Sefer Torah. Lahabdul by Behemah Van Golias is no din of Einoah because these are items that a person is buying to match something else. His wife, for instance, wants a pair of earrings for her 50th wedding anniversary. He already has 1-carat stud for one ear. Now he needs another 1-carat stud. He goes to all the everybody owns that.
Inflexible demand.
Everybody else only has a 0.5-carat, 2-carats, right. 3-carat, but nobody has a 1-carat. And it's got to be, of course, the
it's
same.
Like, it's like Duma Ben Asina with the stone for the Choshen.
Oh, so therefore we needed this particular Magolius. Even though normally a 1-carat stud like that is only worth twice $5,000, he's willing to pay 10 because he needs it for the pair. The same thing as a guy with Behemoth, if he needs 2 oxen to do the charisha, the plowing of the field.
Right.
Don't tell me that this Behemoth is worth only $100. I need this Behemoth because it's exactly the same
weight and strength and efficiency.
Exactly right. So he's willing to pay more. So therefore there's no din of Einoah by these three. As a tribute.
But on the Tzemet, there's a din of Einoah. Because the Tzemet is a...
Well, we're not finished yet. We're still in the middle of the kash. Omruloi. So now the Chachomim respond to Rabbi Yehuda. We respectfully disagree. Le Omru. When did we say there's no din of Einoah? Ela es Eilu. Eilu doesn't mean these three. It says the Torah Behemoth of Megadus. Three means what it says earlier in the Mishnah. Karkois Avodim and Shtorois. There's no din of Einoah. Why is it no din of Einoah the Gabi Karkois? We know Ein Einoah the Karkois. Our Gemara doesn't go into it. The Rishbam tells us the Ayin Shom, the Gemara learns it from Kroi, from Sukkim. But you remember, the Pasuk says, Chisimkru Mimkru Lamisecha, Oikonoi Yad Amisecha, Al Toinu Ishis Achiv. Why did it say miyad amisecha dovenik miyad miyad?
That's metalklin.
That's metalklin. Therefore, it's lafuke karkois,
and then the karkois are avadim aruksha karkois.
Right,
and shkaros says because they don't have any intrinsic value.
Exactly. So those are the only three exceptions. When it says it's elu, he's not going back to say the third. It's going on the karkois and avadim
and shkaros.
Right. So what do I see from this? So everybody agrees to the din of oino, and therefore the Gemara assumes everybody agrees to the din of bittul mekach. That being the case, how do the Chachamim allow in our Mishnah that the Mocher is at Tzemet, the Tzemet should not be sold because it was he paid 200 for something that has only cost 50? Everything Gemara, my Eindom Amrai and Nami Yitoni, to have a bittul mekach. When the Rabbanan say in our Mishnah, Eindom Amrai, they don't mean to say that the Bokar is not sold, but the Tzemet is sold. They mean to say is the whole thing is bottled. That because of the fact that you cannot bring evidence from the fact that you paid 200 instead of 50, but no one pays 200 for a lousy Tzemet which only costs 50. Therefore, not only doesn't he get the Bokar, because the fact that he's giving 200 is not evidence that the Bokar is included, but you don't even get the Tzemet either. The whole thing falls away. And he gets back his money, and he gets back his tzemet, and we start from square one.
And Eindom Amrai doesn't sound like that, though. It has a different...
And that's why the Gemara is the second pshat. V'boyaseima. And the Rishvam himself says that the second pshat is better than the first one, because kamashinuya dechikuhu. It's a bit shvera pshat.
Right.
So I have a better pshat. V'boyaseima. Ki amar rabban oino bitul mekach b'chtei shahadas toye avu. Chtei shahadas toye loy e madonna yohevle. When do we talk about Eino? When do we talk about Bittul Mekach? When we're talking about numbers where Eino and Bittul Mekach are Shaykh. We spoke about, for instance, before, an item that cost $6, I sold it for $7. That's Eino, right. 1/6 more. I have an item which is $6, I sold it for $8, or $9, or $10. That is Bittul Mekach. The Chdesha Das Toya, the Lekeach comes into the store, he's really not familiar with how much a fountain pen costs today. He thinks a fountain pen, it looks very kosher. I know ballpoint pen is it. I can get 10 for a dollar or whatever it is. But a fountain pen, I don't really know. So when he charged him $7, later on he finds out it's only worth $6. That's all you know. If he charged him $8 or $9, what, $8 or $9? I heard from my friend who's a bucky in selling pens that a pen doesn't cost $8 or $9, even the nicest fountain pen, made in gold maybe. But if it's just a regular fountain pen, it costs only $6. That a person can make a mistake. But nobody in his right mind thinks that a tzemet, which only costs $50, is $200. I mean, that's nuts. If I want to go and buy some bananas in the store, I know the bananas can go up in price, or eggs nowadays. I know if you're in the market to buy eggs. Eggs are usually extra large eggs. $1 a dozen, $2 a dozen. Nowadays, it costs $5 a dozen. Shigit, sedreit. Okay.
Where you shop? Because I don't get them for $5 a dozen.
Will you pay any more?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, in Muncie and other places, it costs $5. Yeah. We never hear something like that. Fine. But at least it's within the Chdesha Das Toya. But would you ever go and buy a dozen eggs for $50? Are you Meshiga? I've heard it goes up to crazy prices. Especially before Yom Tov, it goes up to $6, $8, $10, $50. Nobody. So why would he be willing to go and give $200? Elamai matana yoevle. He decided to go and give the guy matana. Why? He saw that person, for instance,
struggling
for panasa. He doesn't want to go and give him tzedakah. He doesn't want to embarrass him. So
he's pretending to pay for something. So therefore, it's really a gift.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, today I made a lot of money in the stock market. I'm happy to go and give. I know it's $50. Fine, you can take $200. It's yours. Good yom tov and zaygizit. Ah, zokti gemara. Why does our Mishnah allow for the tzemet to go through? The Chumash say ain adam amraya. So now it depends. If it's the amount which is Kadesha Das Toya, which is a small amount,
a reasonable overcharge,
ain achanami, then Taka the Tzemed would not be sold because that could be a full fledged Mekach Toya. Ain achanami. However, if it's talking about that he overpaid him, like our Mishnah is talking about $200, a ridiculous amount, where Rabbi Yehuda says, well, that's the amount for Tzemed and Bokar together. So you see that it's a ridiculous amount. The Chum say, I know it's a ridiculous amount. But you know why in a Damaraya? Because Itaka only was in the market to buy it. Tzemet. Why is he giving him 200 instead of 50? He wants to be super generous to help out a friend who's never struggling for panaso. He knows he needs a refuah, yeshua, whatever it is. He has to do a shidduch. He needs extra money. So therefore, I'm going and giving him a nice present. Says Rishbam, this shot, look at Rishbam, the first wide line.
Yes.
Mesova Belibai, Shekach Shover. That's Bechdesha Das Toya. He thinks, Kigoyin Shavahei, Zayin, Oivov b'ches. The hinkle batel mekach. The mekach toiso. I never would have overpaid if I would have known. Abchnei she'en adas toya. Kimas nisim. The tzemet sheshova pruta. Ain't kain oisim mono imasayim. I would be too generous when I said 50. A tzemet costs a dollar. Costs a pruta. Nobody pays a mono imasayim.
It's a fraction of a fraction of a
exactly. Well, Mestabra says, Rishbam, Ketiritz Achrin, this Teretz I like better, says Rishbam. Because Kama Shinuya Kedichiku, like you yourself said before, if the Mishnah says, Ain't a Dom Amraya, it doesn't sound like Bittul Mekach. Says Rishbam, Echadam, here's Taka, there's no Bittul Mekach according to the second shot, because he gave him a present, largesse, free $200, even though the thing is only worth a prutza or
what. So why is there a contest in the whole transaction then? If he's giving him a present, Then there's
he's going to go and take a tzemet and a bakar. It won't be a present anymore because it costs $200.
No, but why is he complaining that he only gets the tzemet? If he's giving him a gift, he says, "You know, you're only getting the tzemet, but you overpaid because you wanted to give the tzedakah."
Changed his mind.
Okay.
Next day he said, "What was being so generous? I'm not to give him so much money. Actually, give me a bakar. At least give me something else." Right. No, we only made up for the tzemet. We stop over here. Everybody have a wonderful day. Zagim and Zagim.